Welcome to the Hacking Happy podcast. My name is Penny Lacasso, and I'm the world's first happiness hacker on a bold quest to teach 10 million women how to flourish on their terms by 2025. The Hacking Happy podcast is recorded on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This podcast is designed to help you reignite your spark, supercharge your energy, and channel it towards injecting more joy, presence, calm, and meaningful work in each day. If that sounds like something you could use a little more of, let's get started. Hello, beautiful human, and welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. How are you? How are you? So when I ask that, I want you to just drop inside your body, maybe close down your eyes, take a deep breath, even if you're out walking the dog, and connect in and just ask yourself, how am I? And listen to what your body has to say in response. Okay, now that you've perhaps got an answer, something to do, something with, and a little bit of insight around where you're at in the present moment, take a hold of that and perhaps carry it off the back of this podcast and journal on it, have a bit of an exploration with it. Now, the reason I'm putting this to you is because I have been doing a lot of work in terms of checking in with how I'm feeling and exploring that and the benefits that that provides in terms of looking at ways to feel good more often. So let's get down to today's podcast now that we've got that little exercise out of the way. I am an angry woman, not the violent type, not throwing plates or smashing things around the house, just one who has those sudden moments of explosion on the odd occasion with the ones that I love the most. Now, I started exploring how anger shows up for me, what triggers it, and where it comes from, and what I can do to process this completely normal feeling without shame in a way that is constructive rather than destructive. So you can see why I started where I started, because we are talking about feelings. And today we're going to talk about one that is perhaps a little uncomfortable for the many of us who experience it. Now, it has been in sharing what's coming up for me that I've realized I'm not the only angry woman in the world. Many of us have moments of anger and often find ourselves wondering, what just happened? Where did that come from? And asking ourselves, or saying to ourselves, this doesn't feel like me or the me that I want to be. It's for all of these reasons that I created this beautiful three-part podcast series to explore how anger shows up in the everyday and why you're not the only angry woman in the world. Together, my intent is through honest conversation and science, we'll look to understand our anger, normalize the feeling as a valid emotion, and look to some practical insights for processing it in this constructive manner that I keep speaking about. So thank you for joining me today in part two of this really interesting self-discovery journey, the angry woman and taboo topic. And today's part, which is part two, I've entitled What the Science Has to Say. If you missed part one, I highly recommend going back to that episode. It's episode 94, entitled The Angry Woman, a Taboo Topic, Part 1, to get the full benefit of this series. Okay, let's get started. All right, so if I reconnect back with my story, a bit of which I shared last week, my story as an angry woman. My parents got divorced when I was 11. My dad hasn't spoken to my mum since I was 11 years old. I'm now 47. Now, living through this divorce and, to be honest, a pretty horrible court case that went on for years was, well, to say it was challenging would be a massive understatement, especially now looking at how that event has impacted myself, my brother, and my sister, and we're all now pushing 50. So at the age of 12, after my parents divorced, I went to live with my beloved father. We were extremely close. And I wanted to live with him because it felt like what I was meant to do. It felt like where I was meant to be. And also I knew he was in a world of pain off the back of the divorce. I mean, we all were, but yeah, it was a challenging time for everyone. So I went and moved in with him. And after 2 weeks of living together, it was time for me to go back and visit my mum and my brother and my sister for the weekend. I won't go into the details of what happened, but it's fair to say Dad was not happy about my return. I think looking back now, it triggered a lot of hurt and pain. And I insisted that I wanted to go, which seemed like a pretty reasonable request. Now, my dad, I have a massively beautiful relationship with him. Now, I had a beautiful relationship with him as a child, and understanding what I know now about trauma, his behaviour at the time was not rational. And people who were traumatised respond in ways that are completely unexpected. So at my insistence of going to visit my mum and my family for the weekend, the last thing I recall was my dad putting all of my worldly possessions in garbage bags, driving me from Mount Waverley to Officer, which was about a 30-minute drive, and Officer was a rural, remote farming town back then. It's now a satellite city. So with all my worldly possessions in garbage bags, he drove me to a phone box on the middle of the highway with nothing else around, 5 kilometres from my mum's farm. And he left me there with 30 cents, enough to make a phone call. Now, I have to be honest, I have never shared this story publicly. It is still very painful and very raw. I don't think until I'd done the work that I'm now doing with Gabor Maté, I had any idea how much that moment impacted my life and my behaviour thereafter. So standing at the phone box at the age of 12, which is the age that my son is now at, you can imagine what that felt like and where it went. I just cried, heaving crying. I felt abandoned. I felt not worthy, not valued by the one person who perhaps is supposed to love you the most. These feelings, I think, are where my anger began and what fueled it to grow inside of me over many years. Now, here's the kicker. As I mentioned, at the age of 12, the age that my son is now at, and when I think about it in that context, it's even more painful. I did not have the emotional maturity to process what was going on and process the hurt and the anger that was inside of me. And most 12-year-olds wouldn't. And that's why I relate it back to my son. I think, imagine what he would do if he was in this situation. And I can't even comprehend what that would be like for my son. Equally, at the time, right, I didn't have the maturity to process this anger, but also it wasn't acceptable in society when I was a kid, and I still don't think it's that acceptable now, to be an angry little girl. Good girls were, and I think still are, what we expect and produce in society. This is the conditioning. So in addition to all of that, I'd been raised that when things get tough, coming from a farming family, I was raised that when things get tough, you just put on your big girl fucking pants and get on with it. And so at the age of 12, that's what I did. What a recipe for disaster. That anger, that abandonment stayed within me, bottled up inside. And it manifested in my teenage years in self-destructive, what I would call highly risky, dysfunctional behaviour. I had far too many near-death experiences as a teenager due to doing stupid, high-risk things. The anger inside was dying to get out of me, but it just didn't know how. I've done, as I said, a lot of self-work since then. And through my trauma-informed therapy training with Gabor Maté, most recently I started to notice misplaced anger with the ones I loved. And I had to understand it to help that little girl inside of me, that little Penny, that 12-year-old Penny, know that it was okay to be fucking angry. It's okay to let that anger out and that she doesn't need to hold on to it anymore. Now, I'm sure any of you that have done inner child work can perhaps connect to some of what I'm saying. And if you haven't, I just invite you to be open, because there is so much evidence behind connecting in with your inner child and what your inner child has to tell you, especially in the realm of trauma. Now, it's this journey that has helped me to understand through conversations with other women that we do not openly share that many of us experience anger with some regularity. Like, I'm not angry all the time. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these moments of outburst where we don't understand where it came from. It feels misplaced and displaced. And perhaps it leaves us questioning ourselves and why we're showing up in this way, because it doesn't feel in congruence with who we want to be. Equally, if it happens a lot, it can be extremely unhealthy in terms of how your physiology operates when you're constantly doing this, because it's hyperstimulating your central nervous system. So I wonder, this not sharing of anger as more mature women, is it out of shame? I suspect so, as the perception is that anger is a negative emotion and negative emotions should be suppressed, as they potentially make us bad humans, bad mums. Perhaps that's the label we carry. But what I want to ask you is, what if anger was the door to understanding yourself better? A door to resolving unfinished business in your past, like me. Business that looks and smells like a trauma of some shape or form, no matter how big or small. This unfinished business that hijacks your behavior and your true potential years later, just like me. So let's unpack anger. Let's get into what the science has to tell us. But first, let's start with what anger is. So according to the dictionary, it is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. Hey there, thought I would just press pause for a moment and ask you, do you struggle to set boundaries when there is so much that needs to be done in both work and life? Do you feel like you're letting everyone down and like no one's getting the best of you? Perhaps you lay in bed wide-eyed in the middle of the night wondering, how much is enough? And then tell yourself, I can't go on like this anymore. You've been waiting to make meaningful change for ages, but feel overwhelmed by the enormity of it and too exhausted to know where to even begin. You keep telling yourself, when it's all done, then I'll make time for me. But the reality is, it's never all done. And you just keep moving yourself and your dreams to the bottom of your to-do list. If the answer is, that's me, Penny, are you inside my head? Then the Calm Collective Group Coaching Program was designed for you. The Calm Collective is a 6-month intimate group coaching journey that provides the space, support, skills, and community to reignite your spark and inject more presence and calm into each day. If you're ready to step out of robot mode, move from existing to living, jump on over to thecalmcollective.au. That's thecalmcollective.au for all of the details and to secure your spot in the next cohort. So I wonder if you can connect or relate to that. And I think what I found interesting when I read this definition and went on the hunt for definitions was that many of us associate anger with violence. And that's why it has such a bad rap, such a negative rap, and why many of us hold this shame and suppress it. But anger can be as simple as being annoyed and expressing that frustration because you're triggered by it or you're displeased with something. And I think that definition just perhaps lightens the load around anger and perhaps creates a little bit more of an invitation for us to lean in and understand how it presents for us and what sits behind it. Now, I just want to highlight in relation to that definition, what we are talking about here is a normal human emotion. I am not by any means advocating violence, which, as I said, we often associate with anger. I am advocating the constructive processing of a normal feeling that, when suppressed, can actually build into something way worse for you and the ones you love. So let me share with you what I have discovered from reading academic journals, psychological academic journals on the study of angry women. I will throw in the show notes the references, a couple of the references that perhaps were the stronger ones that I referred to, in case you're curious to go deeper into the science of this or what exists, which, to be honest, surprisingly, is not as much as I thought would exist. And the next little piece I'll share will explain why. So, firstly, what I felt was most interesting about the literature was the reflection actually in some of the literature, that whilst there are loads of studies into women's anxiety and depression, the literature states, and I quote, "The literature is notably silent on anger, asserting that this is a taboo topic." The literature is notably silent on anger in women, asserting that this is a taboo topic. And I think it is a taboo topic. I love that label because it speaks to exactly what's been going on since I've been having conversations around this and reading about it. Now, the most pervasive theme of women's anger was powerlessness. So what sits behind anger is often, when you dig within, is a feeling of powerlessness. 2/3 of the anger-producing situations in a specific piece of research involved this theme, a feeling powerless. Women wanted someone or something to change and they couldn't make it happen, which made them feel like they had no power. Now, interestingly, research undertaken by Sandra Thomas found that for men, anger is actually empowering. Like, this is, it's so interesting, the dynamic difference in anger for women and men, both internally and externally, right? So anger is empowering in men because they have more power more often than not, just by the nature of the patriarchy. And being angry ensures the continuation of that power, especially if it's accompanied by threats or violence. Women's anger, on the other hand, emerges out of feelings of frustration and not having power. It was not uncommon for a woman to share in the research that her significant others or co-workers were not even listening to her views or requests. Not being listened to is perhaps the epitome of powerlessness. Perhaps this is why so many women come to me to help them find and share their voice. They just want to feel heard. And I wonder if women felt more heard. Based on the research, it sounds like they might be less angry. So this might be an opportunity for you to pause, if this is a topic that resonates, and reflect. Reflect on when you last felt this powerlessness and how you responded. Now, what's equally interesting is that most anger occurs with those closest to us. And the research tells us that, and I experienced that. And I thought this was really interesting. Anger most often occurs with the ones that we love. The research states a frequent trigger of women's anger was the failure of husbands and children to do their fair share of household chores. In fact, family members were most recently cited as the triggers of women's anger. That's a direct quote. Now, I think there's probably not really a woman listening to this who's a mother who cannot relate to that, and anger being the byproduct of not feeling like others are contributing in the household. Now, studies show anger is a violation of our core values. As women, we often hold the ideology of relationship reciprocity when it comes to caring and concern. And when the ideal of this reciprocity is not met, it can help anger rise within us. The study suggests that anger is likely to present when feeling walked on, stretched too thin, and being pulled in too many directions. Inequity in the division of household labour, as I mentioned, is well described. you can start to see, or I can start to see, and I'm inferring here because the research doesn't speak to it, but I see so many burnt out women. And I just feel like that there is obviously a link between burnout and feeling exhausted, not feeling supported in the home in terms of contribution to home chores, and the rise of angry outbursts associated with that. Now, that's my inference, but I can definitely feel, and from the 150 conversations I've had with, or depth interviews I've done as part of my research with high-performing women, these sorts of connections often present. Now, just like me, the research stipulates that few women learned healthy anger expression while growing up. Anger is a confusing and distressing emotion for women, intermingled with hurt and pain. Now, its complexity from a research perspective requires greater attention. There is not enough research around this topic, especially in regards to promoting interventions that enable women to process their anger. The research goes on to share that rather than expressing anger, which might be a great way to clear the air and produce solutions to the grievances that we have, women often ruminate, rehashing injustices, which obviously generates further resentment, and I would say allows that pressure cooker of anger to build up over time, just waiting for the right trigger to help it explode. Now, perhaps, again, this is another moment for reflection. Do you feel you know how to process anger constructively? Because the research tells us most women don't, and we're never freaking taught this. Was there someone in your life that taught you how to process anger? And if not, what would be most helpful with where you're at right now, with how anger is showing up? What skills would enable you to process it? Now, as I mentioned, anger is a confusing and uncomfortable emotion for women. Our lack of skill in processing it means we diminish it because we're not sure how to deal with it, and we're afraid of how it will be perceived if we speak openly about it. Now, anger, as I mentioned, is a really, it's a completely normal human emotion. We all can be angry, all of us. Now, according to the research, it is aroused by frequently occurring violations, as I said, of our values, our beliefs, and our rights. The question we need to ask is, where does it go if we habitually suppress it? It sits in our bodies, and it sits in our bodies as a stress. So think of what that does again to your physiology and your central nervous system if you are constantly suppressing this feeling of anger. So studies have shown that much of the anger stays confined in the body, where it is an undercurrent day after day. Women in the research, when they referred to anger, describe this internal agitation as simmering, stewing, and sometimes coming to a slow boil. I wonder if you can relate to this. I know I certainly can. Now, what's really interesting is the finding that what women are currently doing with anger isn't working. The research showed that their externalized anger did not have the intended effect on the other person. So when anger does come out, and we've got this, as I say, overlay this immaturity of how to process it, most of us do not know, we've never learned, and then it comes out, and as I say, often it's misplaced and misguided, and it doesn't actually have any positive impact. It just makes everyone more frustrated and can create greater tension in relationships. So what do you do with all of this information? And how can you start to shift how you process anger? The studies show that women who have, and I found this really interesting, right? Because I'm like, oh, wait, that's great. Well, how do you do that? Studies show that women who have higher self-esteem report less tendency to become angry, less rumination over anger-producing events, less somatic anger symptomology, and greater likelihood of discussing their anger rationally in a health-promoting, problem-solving fashion. So there you go, building confidence can help. And I suppose that makes logical sense, because the more confident we are in ourselves, the more we feel we are in control of how we show up, of our own behavior. And I think that's interesting in terms of connecting it back to, these are the only things that we really can control in life. We can't change people, but we can control how we show up and how we behave. And processing anger is a brilliant way, I would say, to build that self-confidence, to build that self-esteem, and feel that feeling of I can influence, I can control how I show up. So off the back of all of this insight, I wanted to extend to you an invitation. If processing your anger, no matter how big or small, might prove helpful to you in showing up as the woman you want to be, carve out some space and perhaps journal on the following questions. What does anger look like for you? Describe it. Describe it mentally. Describe it physically in terms of how your body responds. Describe it in terms of how it presents in the environment. What are you doing when you are angry? Who are you doing it at? Ask yourself, what are the triggers? What are the triggers of your anger? Where do you feel your anger comes from? Is there a moment in time where you can first, like me, recall feeling angry in your life? I'll bet there is, and I'll bet you it goes a long way back. How old were you when anger first presented? What happened? Did you have the skills to process it? This is a beautiful way to be, compassionate in your inquiry of yourself. Where do you feel anger in your body? If you sit with that feeling and ask it, what do you have to tell me, anger? Sit with the silence and listen to what comes up from within. Now, I'm not sharing anything, as always, I have not done myself. And journaling on questions like this, it won't be an overnight success, but this is the stuff that kicks off the journey to allowing yourself to process anger in a way that's constructive rather than destructive, because you start to understand yourself and the feeling you have way better. A couple of other questions. So why do you feel uncomfortable not sharing your anger if it's something that you hide within? What would be most helpful in processing it? If you do have a play with this, feel free to drop me a line, hello@hackinghappy.co. I would love to connect on what's coming up for you, because I'm doing the same work myself. And I think when we can connect around these things, it only enables us to grow together. So next week, in the final episode in this three-part series of The Angry Woman, I'm bringing in a couple of amazing mums to have a real and raw conversation about their anger. We'll be exploring the questions I just invited you to process, in the hope that we can normalize the feeling of anger, diminish the shame of it, and give women like you permission to understand and process the emotion constructively and from a place of compassion and love. I hope you can join us. Now, lastly, let me just say, if you are seeking to work through feelings that are holding you back, like anger, holding you back from living the life you long for, showing up in life the way you want to, if you want to do this work in a safe and supportive environment, the Calm Collective Group Coaching Program was designed for you. I'll throw the link in show notes. Check it out for all the details. I would love to see you on the inside. Until next time, happiness looks good on you, beautiful human. Thanks for listening. Bye for now. Thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Reviews are so important to empowering more beautiful humans like you to lead wholehearted and happy lives. If you enjoyed your experience today, I'd love if you could take a moment to leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. If there was something in this particular episode that resonated, feel free to take a screenshot and share your perspectives on social media. Tag me in via Instagram on hackinghappy.co, or you'll find me on LinkedIn, Penny Lacasso. If you have a friend that you feel needs to hear the message in today's podcast, why not drop them a note and share the link from this episode? Until next time, my friend, happiness looks good on you.